Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about myasthenia gravis. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/myasthenia gravis or in the neurology section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge on this content and help you remember the information for longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. Myasthenia gravis is an autoimmune condition affecting the neuromuscular junction. It causes muscle weakness that progressively worsens with activity and improves with rest. Myasthenia gravis affects men and women at different ages, typically affecting women under 40 and men over 60. There's a strong link between myasthenia gravis and thymomas, which are thymus gland tumours. 10 to 20% of patients with myasthenia gravis have a thymoma. Around 30% of patients who have a thymoma develop myasthenia gravis. Let's go through the pathophysiology. Motor neurons communicate with muscles via the neuromuscular junction. On one side of the synapse is the presynaptic membrane of the axon terminal of the motor neuron, essentially the end of the motor neuron. On the other side of the synapse in the neuromuscular junction is the postsynaptic membrane of the motor end plate of the muscle cell. The axons of the motor neurons release a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine from the presynaptic membrane. The acetylcholine travels across the synapse and attaches to receptors on the postsynaptic membrane, and this stimulates muscle contraction. Acetylcholine receptor antibodies are found in most patients with myasthenia gravis. These antibodies bind to the postsynaptic acetylcholine receptors, blocking them and preventing stimulation by acetylcholine. The more the receptors are used during muscle activity, the more they become blocked. There is less effective stimulation of the muscle with increased muscle activity. With rest, the receptors are cleared and the symptoms improve. These acetylcholine receptor antibodies also activate the complement system of the immune system within the neuromuscular junction, and this leads to cell damage at the postsynaptic membrane, which further worsens the symptoms. There are two other types of antibody that can cause myasthenia gravis: muscle-specific kinase, or MuSK, antibodies, and low-density lipoprotein receptor-related protein 4, or LRP4, antibodies. MuSK and LRP4 are important proteins for the creation and organization of the acetylcholine receptors. Destruction of these proteins leads to inadequate acetylcholine receptors on the postsynaptic membrane. Let's talk about the presentation. The symptoms of myasthenia gravis vary dramatically between patients, ranging from mild symptoms to life-threatening. The critical feature to look out for is weakness that worsens with muscle use and improves with rest. Symptoms are typically best in the morning and worst at the end of the day. The symptoms most affect the proximal muscles of the limbs and the small muscles of the head and neck, and this causes difficulty climbing stairs, standing from a seat or raising the arms overhead, weakness of the extraocular muscles, causes double vision or diplopia. Weakness of the eyelid muscles causes drooping of the eyelids or ptosis. There can also be weakness in facial movements, difficulty swallowing, jaw fatigue when chewing, and slurred speech. When examining a patient, there are a few ways to elicit fatigability in the muscles, meaning that you're demonstrating that with extra use, the muscles become weaker. You can ask the patient to repeatedly blink, and this will exacerbate the ptosis or the drooping of the eyelids. You can ask them to look upwards for a prolonged period, which will exacerbate diplopia or double vision on further testing of the eye movements. And you can ask them to abduct one of the arms 20 times in a row, meaning lifting the arm straight out to the side. And on further testing, there will be unilateral weakness when you compare both arms. Further examination steps include checking the patient for a thymectomy scar and testing the forced vital capacity, or FVC, to test the strength of the muscles of respiration. Next, let's talk about investigations. Antibody tests can be used to look for acetylcholine receptor antibodies, which are found in around 85% of patients, MuSK antibodies in less than 10% of patients, and LRP4 antibodies in less than 5% of patients. A CT or MRI scan of the thymus gland is used to look for a thymoma. And finally, the edrophonium test can be helpful where there's doubt about the diagnosis. So let's talk in more detail about the edrophonium test for myasthenia gravis. Patients are given intravenous edrophonium chloride, or alternatively, neostigmine. Normally, cholinesterase enzymes in the neuromuscular junction break down acetylcholine. Edrophonium blocks these enzymes, reducing the breakdown of acetylcholine. As a result, after intravenous edrophonium, the level of acetylcholine at the neuromuscular junction rises, temporarily relieving the weakness in patients with myasthenia gravis. And a positive result suggests a diagnosis of myasthenia gravis. Next, let's talk about treatment options. Treatment options include pyridostigmine, which is a cholinesterase inhibitor that prolongs the action of acetylcholine and improves symptoms, immunosuppression, for example, prednisolone or azathioprine, which suppresses the production of antibodies that cause the disease, thymectomy, or surgical removal of the thymus, can improve symptoms even in patients without a thymoma, and rituximab, which is a monoclonal antibody against B cells, which reduces the antibodies that are produced, is considered where other treatments fail. Finally, let's talk about myasthenic crisis. Myasthenic crisis is a potentially life-threatening complication of myasthenia gravis. It causes an acute worsening of symptoms often triggered by another illness, such as a respiratory tract infection. In myasthenic crisis, respiratory muscle weakness can lead to respiratory failure. Patients may require non-invasive ventilation or mechanical ventilation. Treatment of myasthenic crisis is with intravenous immunoglobulins and plasmapheresis. So thanks for listening to this episode on myasthenia gravis. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. After you've studied a topic, the best way to get that information to consolidate in your memory and stay with you for longer is to test yourself. And you can find flashcards and questions that you can use for this purpose at members.zerotofinals.com. You'll also find my course on how to learn medicine and the tracking tool for preparing for exams at the same website at members.zerotofinals.com. And I hope you join me for the next episode where we'll talk about Lambert-Eaton myasthenic syndrome.